simple, impoverished. Of course, compared to this king, most people were simple and impoverished. King Agrippa entered the court that day with great pomp. He and his sister were arrayed in purple. Roman legionaries followed. Agrippa was the appointed ruler, the curator of religion, and the overseer of the area. Paul, by contrast, was a simple missionary. He had every reason to fear the judgment of this monarch. The king was the latest in the Herod dynasty, the last of the Herods who would meddle with Christ or his followers. His great-grandfather attempted to kill baby Jesus by slaughtering the children of Bethlehem. His granduncle murdered John the Baptist, and his father, Agrippa I, executed James and imprisoned Peter. You might say they had it out for the people in Jesus' circle. And now, Paul stood before him. He was in prison and in trouble for preaching a new religion. How would the apostle defend himself? Appeal for mercy? Call for a miracle? In what was arguably the most important speech of his life, how would Paul present his case? After a word of introduction, he said, "And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today." Acts 26:6. Paul's defense included no reference to his accomplishments. "I have been known to call a person back from the dead, you know." He demanded no preferential treatment. "I am a Roman citizen." He didn't attempt to justify his actions. "I was only being open-minded." None of that. His only justification was this: "I believed in the promises of God." So did Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Add to that list Noah, Mary, a prophet named Isaiah, and a preacher named Peter. The heroes in the Bible came from all walks of life: rulers, servants, teachers, doctors. They were male, female, single, and married. Yet one common denominator united them. They built their lives on the promises of God. Because of God's promises, Noah believed in rain before rain was a word. Because of God's promises, Abraham left a good home for one he'd never seen. Because of God's promises, Joshua led 2 million people into enemy territory. Because of God's promises, David conquered a giant. Peter rose from the ashes of regret, and Paul found a grace worth dying for. One writer went so far as to call such saints heirs of the promise, Hebrews 6:17. It is as if the promise was the family fortune, and they were smart enough to attend the reading of the will. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Hebrews 11, 7-17. The list goes on for several verses. Jacob trusted God's promises. Joseph trusted God's promises. Moses trusted God's promises. Their stories were different, but the theme was the same. God's promises were pole stars in their pilgrimages of faith. They had plenty of promises from which to pick. One student of Scripture spent a year and a half attempting to tally the number of promises God has made to humanity. He came up with 7,487 promises. God's promises are pine trees in the Rocky Mountains of Scripture, abundant, unbending, and perennial. Some of the promises are positive,